Hello, and welcome to the first of a series of podcasts celebrating Powell River's 50-mile Eat Local Challenge, also known as the 50-mile Diet. My name is David Parkinson, and I'm one of the organizers of the 50-mile Diet this year as part of my work through the Powell River Food Security Project. We're in our fourth year now. The 50-mile Diet started back in 2006 as a result of inspiration and organization from Lynn Adamson, who picked up on the idea of the 100-mile diet that was happening in Vancouver and brought it up here, put a local spin on it, so we do 50 miles up here. This year we're running from August 9th until September 27th, which is 50 days, and we'll be ending on the 27th of September, which is the second day of Powell River's Fall Fair. We kicked off this year on Sunday, August 9th, with the first ever edible garden tour, which was a tour of 13 food-producing gardens throughout the region, thrown open to the public for free so that people could tour around and take a look at how other people are solving the local food problem in their own backyard. And that was a pretty good success, so I think we'll be doing that again next year. Stay tuned for more news about that. And if you want to find us on the web, we've got a blog at pr50.wordpress.com, or you can email me at david@prfoodsecurity.org, or give me a call at 604-485-2004 if you want to know anything more about the 50-mile diet. I'll repeat that information at the end of the show, and also in the show notes where this podcast lives on the web, which is at pr50.podomatic.com. So the series of podcasts during the 50-mile diet is going to consist of 7 conversations, which will be one a week, with what I'm calling local food champions. So these are some of the people in the region who do the best they can to provide local food to other people or work with local food in their business one way or another, and not just for 50 days out of the year, but for 52 weeks as much as they can. So the first conversation this week is one that I had with Jeffrey Wren, who's the owner, manager, and chef at Bemused Bistro in Powell River. And again, see the show notes at pr50.podomatic.com for some of the details about how you can find Bemused and when they're open and so forth. And with nothing more from me, let's just go to my conversation with Jeffrey Wren at Bemused Bistro. Anyway, I'm here talking with Jeff Wren, who's the co-owner, manager of Bemused Bistro in Powell River. And so why don't you just say a word or two about this place and how it all got started?
How it all got started was that for 25 years I made my living as an actor and was fortunate enough to do an incredible amount of traveling and eat some extraordinary food. And I came to Powell River to find my dad, and I found this sort of gentle and organic hippie, a glorious hippie actually, and fell in love with his life, which was all about a light footprint and feeding people wholesomely and thinking about the effects of what his life, how it affected the larger community, and really light footprint, I guess, is the way that I saw it when I first arrived. And I looked at my own life, which was so full of ego, and the business was crazy, and I fell in love with what he was doing, and I decided I'd love to learn what he did, and he said stay, so I hung out in the farm, and then I realized that I was eating probably the best food I'd ever eaten in my life. And even though I had, you know, eaten all over the world and had lived and gone to school in London and Paris and ate some great and great restaurants, but didn't eat this fresh food grown with love. And I thought, wow, you know, I could do this. And I hung out with Dad for a couple of years in the farm. And I'm not really a green thumb. I've done my best to learn the alchemy that he practices, but it's not what my higher nature really is. Mm. And I missed community because farming is a pretty lonely life. And my dad is a hermit in some ways. So we actually walked into this place one day to sell some greens to the guy who used to have a gumbo shop here. And he said, I want to sell this place. And Dad looked at me and said, are you ready to do it? And I had run restaurants all my life, but I never owned one.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about how we could take food from the farm and bring it to the table, and how what we really needed was a sort of political salon, and we needed a gathering place of the people who were, as my dad calls them, herbies, which, you know, locally translates for me to people who eat lots of herbs and fresh grown food. And so we thought about calling the place Reds and Greens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, red wine and green greens, but also the political nuance there. And that sort of, so Bemuse became a place for me to share what I had experienced around the world with the community, as well as to create a gathering place, as well as a place to put some of the farm food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the 50-mile challenge hadn't really gotten to a swing until we started the restaurant. I mean, they have nothing to do with each other except for that we fully embraced it and have from the beginning. In fact, 2 years ago, a film crew from the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation came to town because they'd been down in Vancouver meeting the people who wrote the 100 Mile Diet book, and they had been down to San Francisco to check out Chez Panisse and that scene of what was happening down there. And then when they talked to the 100 Mile Diet people, they said, you should go to Powell River, they do a 50 Mile Diet. And so that got Lynn Adamson called me and said, hey, do you think you could put on a meal? This is in the middle of February.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put on a 4-course meal. We sat them down at a table with 10 farmers, some aquaculture people as well. And we served them a 4-course meal of 100% 50-mile food, which was really, we felt real proud of ourselves to be able to do that, to be able to source that food in February. They said, you know, that they had a wonderful meal, of course. But at the end of it, what was fascinating was that they sat at a table with a group of people talking to local producers, local farmers, and getting the politic of how important local food was. And yet they're from a country of 5 million people that grow food for 60 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if the 100-mile diet caught on, they were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The carbon footprint of that food is another question. However, at the end of the meal, when they said to me, I said to them, you know, you even drank wine tonight and grappa, and you know that almost everything you had tonight was illegal.
Right.
That I legally am not allowed to serve that to the clients, most of what I put out here, because that's our farm meat that was on the table, and this seafood didn't go through a plant in Vancouver to come back to us in trucks. And I may be jumping all over, and this might be difficult to put together because I'm leaving some gaps out here for people that don't understand how food regulations have taken over food production, and how insidious this really war that's going on about our food is right now. Mm-hmm. And how multinational corporations have taken control of our food in a way that they've made it illegal for us to serve farm-grown food.
Mm-hmm.
in our own community without it getting into a truck, going somewhere else and being stamped by a government agent and then sent back to us. And it sounds like I'm making up some sort of crazy conspiracy that is out of a movie like Brazil, but it's the truth.
Right, right.
It makes you want to pull your hair out.
So do you see that in any way getting better or getting worse as time goes on?
I see it as at its absolute zenith right now, and I hope it can't get any worse. I mean, when you've got food police at our friend's chicken place where we go to process our chickens every year, you've got two food police standing there not letting you drive down the her garden path with your chickens in order to slaughter them. Hmm. Because she's not a government-sanctioned slaughterhouse. Well, we've been slaughtering chickens there for 25 years, feeding a network of 100 people with our chickens. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, and no one's ever gotten sick. Nothing's ever... Right. I mean, when you're the farmer and you're eating that food, you have a vested interest that food is healthy. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to make huge amounts of money, nor are you putting adrenalines or antibiotics into your food. Mm-hmm. There's no need to.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm doing that big...
No, that's fine.
I don't mean to get all political about it, but I'm passionate about the politics of food, and part of what we're trying to do here is actually educate people about what's happening to the food chain, what's happening to our food when you go and buy it from a supermarket.
So how often does it happen that people come in here for, you know, just a simple meal at a, you know, in a pleasant little location in Powell River and end up... The conversation sort of ends up going in the direction of them, you know, talking with you or with whoever else might be serving in the restaurant about these things. Does that come up pretty frequently?
Often. Yeah. Very frequently. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And like local people and people from out of town who don't know about these things?
Actually, the funny thing is that most of the people who come here from out of town are hip to it.
Oh, yeah.
I find that it's the locals who don't know.
Funny. Yeah. Interesting, eh?
Yeah. However, you know, there is a community of folks who are patrons of mine that do understand that politic. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they choose to come here is because they know that.
Right.
What's happening.
Because basically here you're doing the very best you can to serve local food as much as possible throughout the year while staying within the bounds of the law, right?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, my mandate is world food with local ingredients as much as possible.
Right.
Now, sometimes, you know, coffee and chocolate, we all come to this around the 50-mile diet time, is, what about my coffee and chocolate?
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't grow those yet, nor do we grow saffron. Actually, you know, I did harvest some saffron last year from my garden. So
the authentic kind? Because there's a sort of faux saffron or something, right?
This is a faux saffron.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But still, it's got the same flavor,
I think,
right?
We're quite hot enough to get the real stuff.
So what kinds of things are happening here at the news during the 50 days of the 50-mile diet thing? I guess this is probably hopefully the best time of year for your ability to get good local food onto the table.
It is. It's absolutely perfect timing, and I really applaud the people who've done the challenge in order to move the dates to a time that makes more sense of a harvest. And that's a great initiative on the part of you and the folks that are doing it, the planning. We got figs. I just got a load of fresh figs. They're beautiful. We got a couple on the table here in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I sourced some goat's cheese from Salt Spring Island, and we warmed the figs up and put some goat's cheese on it. We've got, you know, we're into tomato land now. And Dad's cherry tomatoes are coming beautifully. We have a couple of greenhouses on the farm. My dad does ornamental greens, which most of the year we have the greens.
Right.
But 27 different varieties, and we also do micro greens as well as regular salad greens. They're always on the menu here.
Yeah.
The figs are on now. A tomato bocconcini made by Island Farms will be on the menu.
Great.
Salad in the next little bit.
And I guess you have the fresh basil to go with it for making
right
it from caprese.
Five feet away.
Oh, yeah. Great. Good diet.
Yeah. So there's this year I actually have a few things in my little garden behind the restaurant that I'm very happy with. If you walk by, you'll see some lovely purple amaranth, and so we're going to try and grow. This year I'm growing for seed, and next year I think on the farm we're going to grow a field of amaranth, because amaranth and quinoa now are have become much more a part of my own diet, because I don't eat flour anymore. So,
okay.
And as a grain, these things are just so wonderful. All the amino acids that you need in them, and that Olympic athletes are eating as much of this, of amaranth and quinoa, as they can get, because it's superfood.
Great.
What else do we have? Well, we always have local prawns,
right?
And for people who are doing the 100% 50 mile, you could come here and have an appetizer, figs and goat's cheese. You can have a dinner of local prawns and greens with a local blackberry vinegar dressing, local butter and garlic on the prawns. And then you can follow that with a wild blackberry sorbet or a plum sorbet, and there's 100% 50 mile meal.
Yeah, just no coffee and liqueur.
No coffee. Well, somebody has said to me, if you really want to do this, you know the amount of chicory we have around here? Recently, all the yellow flowers that everyone thinks are dandelions are a form of chicory.
Okay.
Chicory is also a coffee substitute.
Yeah, right. But without the caffeine,
that's
kind of a problem.
That's the best, yeah. So, one thing we do, because I'm a celiac, I'm very aware of people's food issues, food allergies, and we try to cater to that. So there's a lot of dishes that you'll find without flour in them. We also have a dessert person here who's fantastic. Her name's Shanna Marfil, and she makes, she does her best to always have three or four local desserts on the menu, which we have all year long. Right now we've got a cherry ice cream, a rhubarb ice cream, blackberry sorbet, plum sorbet, raspberry sorbet. She's making fig sorbetto right now. We do a thing called a creme mure, which is a mure, which is totally our invention. It's creme brulee custard.
Oh, I've had that.
With the little wild blackberries.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
The little ones, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the ones that were here originally.
Right.
Good year for them this year, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd want to say to people listening? For example, where are you, and how can people find you, and when can they come by and get some great local food?
4623 Marina Avenue, right next door to Knight News. It's the little white building with the bridge from Marine down to the building. It's like a deck that you can see. We've got one of the best views of the strait here, looking at Texada and through to the Comox Glacier. I'm here Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays doing the 50 mile food. We also, I share the bistro with the little hot curry people who do curry, the 5,000 mile food.
Right. And they're on Mondays?
They're Monday through Thursday.
Right.
Weekends we're open till midnight. Most people don't know that, and I think maybe I better do some more advertising about that. But
okay.
We're open till midnight Friday, Saturday, and for late night desserts.
And why don't you put a plug in there for what's happening here at the Blackberry Street Party?
We have Blackberry Wood coming to play a wonderful dance band, sort of like Jewish wedding music meets circus and ska.
All right.
They're playing Blackberry Evening from 10 o'clock on.
And you sort of load up the menu with extra blackberry-oriented foods, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, I've been, I have some friends on Sly Ammon who have been bringing me buckets of berries for that very event.
Right on. Great.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So anyone who wants to know, just check out the show notes for this, and I'll be sure to get a pointer to Gumi's Bistro. So I've been talking with Jeff Wren, and thanks very much for talking.
My pleasure.
And thank you for supporting local food.
Thank you.
And that concludes my conversation with local food champion Jeffrey Wren of Bemuse Bistro in Powell River. For more info about Bemuse or this show in general, check out our show notes at pr50.podomatic.com. Also take a look at our blog at pr50.wordpress.com. And if you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at david@prfoodsecurity.org or 604-485-2004. The intro music for the show comes from a band from Puerto Rico called Balloon. The track is called Snol, S-N-O-L. The outro music is Alistair Thompson's track The Long Winter from his e-album Infinities. And both of those are freely available through archive.org, which is a worldwide web home of an enormous amount of audio and other material in the public domain. And this show and all the other podcasts in this series are released onto the web under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. So this was the first in a series of podcasts celebrating Powell River's 50-mile Eat Local Challenge. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more info. Thank you.